Now, I have to point it out, in case you missed it, it's the whole reason I sing that song. It's for this one line. Though the wrong seems off so strong, what? God is the ruler yet. That's right. Do you believe that? Amen. Amen. Do you see it always in your life? Yes? I need my eyes opened at times to always see it, to be very honest with you. Because not always do I feel like God is being victorious in the moment. But this I do know. He said he will be. So I have to believe that he is. And if he's not victorious now, maybe it's just because he's waiting for the clouds. And I know he will right every wrong then. And we have a lot of wrongs that need righted in this world, don't you think? There's just so much suffering. I mean, can you believe just here in this last year what's been going on? Colorado and New York, and you just keep going down the list. People are just losing their minds and their hearts. The Lord has a lot of wounded. But I believe that he will heal us. The day will come when he does come through those clouds and all will be made right. And I hang on to that because there are things that I see in my own life, but certainly things I see around me that just break your heart. And you think, how can God allow this? And how can this continue? And one of those things has been seeing how the rest of the world lived. Now, I grew up in Tennessee. I grew up on my grandfather's farm. Some of you know this history of mine. And Lionel and I, actually, we met in Tennessee. He went to college there at Southern. So that's how I met him. He came down into my country, and I was lucky enough to find him that way. But I was a pretty naive girl. And when I started this music ministry, it afforded me the opportunity to travel around the world and begin to see what really exists in other places. And a colleague of mine, when I first started this ministry, he asked me, he said, so what is your ministry going to be about? And I was young and naive enough to say, good music about Jesus. You know, I thought that was really enough, because let me tell you, music's a wonderful, powerful thing, and to sing about Christ is a powerful thing. But within the first year, I soon learned that my ministry could be a lot more than that and needed to be a lot more than that. I don't know all the reasons why I ended up being in music ministry, but I do know this. God had some lessons to teach me that I don't think I would have learned any other way. And he was opening a door for me to try to make a difference in other people's lives. And if I came back from that first year knowing what my ministry would be about, and it's about feeding children. Lionel and I, we weren't sure that we would ever have any kids of our own. So the children really did break my heart. In that first time traveling, it was back in 97, I was in Ecuador and in Indonesia and in Europe and in various places. And for the first time in my life, I was seeing women beaten simply because they were sitting in a room with a Christian, the Muslim women. There were children intentionally maimed to raise a higher dollar on the street. Children living in city dumps because that's where the greatest source of food was. It just opened my eyes, and I had to do something about it. You know all this is true. We see it. We see it too often on TV and things like that. But for me to see it personally, I realized there's something I can do about this. So for the last 15 years, my concerts have been about sharing the love of Christ, but also reminding my audiences of exactly what you already know. There's people out there who need Christ, and they need the basics before they can even hear about him. And for me, it's the kids. My husband and I, when I came back from that trip in Indonesia in 1997, we sponsored a little boy from Indonesia, because that's where my heart was first broken. And here this Muslim little boy, Hendro Odoro was his name, he received a hot meal every day, all of his medical needs, and a Christian education, because we spent a little over a dollar a day. Isn't that amazing? Hendro is a grown man now. He owns and operates his own business. And I got to meet him as a child when I was over there in Jakarta. They had to bring him to me because he lived in a dangerous area for me to go to. But they put him on a bus. His teacher came with him on a bus and then for 8 hours. And then he had a 3-hour plane flight to get to Jakarta. And I met him, and he had never seen a motorized vehicle before that day, and he had never seen a Caucasian woman before that day, and he was terrified of me. But by the end of our time together, we were friends, and we're playing games and singing songs. He knew. He was teaching me the songs he knew. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves the little children. I think it will be neat someday to meet Hendro in heaven again. That would be really cool. But Lionel's always been supportive of this, and he's not seen some of the places that I've been to. You know, when I travel to a country, I'm not usually going to all the tourist places simply because I don't have any family with me, and what fun would that be, you know? But part of my purpose there is to find out what World Vision's doing there and to find out what the needs are. And so when I was in Zimbabwe, I didn't see any of the tourist sites there. I was seeing orphanages and places where child trafficking was occurring, that we were trying to make a difference there. In Ecuador, I was at the city dump. As I said, that's where the kids were. That's the kind of places I go when I travel. And so Lionel had not really seen much of this and hadn't had a chance to go on a trip with me. So finally, we were able to go to Dominican Republic here recently. And it's actually not been so recently. It was right before Garrison was born. So we went to Dominican Republic together, and what we got to see there was really exciting. Lionel and I were able to see World Vision development sites that were almost done. It means they had gone in with the goals of what was needed, whether it was fresh water, new housing, education, whatever was needed. It was set up, and it was self-sufficient. So World Vision was stepping away. They were no longer needed. And that was exciting to see. Like one of the villages that we went to, they had been washed away by a flood. You understand what this is like, right? They had been washed away by a flood, and World Vision came in. They, of course, needed a new clean water supply. They needed houses rebuilt. Everything from the ground up had to be started all over again. And because of the new water system that was running through, World Vision set up a fish hatchery that we saw that the single mothers ran and operated. So the single moms are feeding themselves and their village. Pretty cool. Anyway, the microeconomics were in place. It was nice. And at the community center, they had all the children come and perform and sing for us, the American guests that were there. You know, they wanted to impress us with what the program was doing. And while we were there, there was a little girl. Her name was Madeline. She was probably about 14 months old, and she liked Lionel. And she played around him some. She had on a hot pink shirt and a yellow jumper. And I think Lionel was trying to practice his fathering skills as well, wanted to work on that a bit. And Lionel, I actually think she just wanted your sunglasses, but no. Anyway, she was a sweet girl. And towards the end of the time there, it was clear that she was just a single mother. She had no father in the picture at all. But Lionel wanted to pray with the mother and to find out what her greatest needs were and to spend some time with her. So he had to wait till he had a translator, and he was able to do that. But you realize what this mother's greatest need is. It's a little distorted. She has to hope that her daughter Madeline will die before she does. Because it kind of makes sense when you realize they both have AIDS. Who's there to take care of Madeline when her mother is gone? This is why ADRA and World Vision, these organizations, are so important, because they stand in the gap between life and death literally every day. They are there for Madeline. Because he's here, I get all emotional over it. I was going to say that when Garrison was born, I look at this face and I know that I have to do whatever it takes to make sure he spends eternity with me. For me, all these years, World Vision and sponsoring children has been about making a difference in the lives of other people. Now it's kind of changing a little bit, even so. To sponsor a child through World Vision is a way to teach my son what he needs to do, to have a legacy for him, that he understands that it's more important to care for the other people around him, just like Christ would, to have that tender, tender heart. And we have a little girl, Miriam is her name, that we're sponsoring now, and she's on our refrigerator door. And of course, I'm trying to educate my son so he understands what this is all about, and he'll sort through the children's folders with me at times. And he looked at the refrigerator door here several weeks back, and he asked about Miriam again, and I explained it again, and so he got concerned, and he said, "Is she eating today?" And I said, "Yes, because we are feeding her." I hope that through my life, whether if time lasts, that my son and the people who hear me sing would not remember me for the songs that I sang, for the fact that I fed children. That would be the legacy I would love to leave. And of course, today, as you leave, you're going to see these folders out there. I couldn't bring Madeline with me today. I can't bring a busload of these kids I've seen in all these countries. All I can do is bring you these pictures. And just so you know, these are not brochures. Each folder is unique. This is the only folder of Bayron, this little boy from El Salvador. I picked him up because his birthday is today. He's turning 4 today. But each folder is unique. And when you go, when we leave today, please stop by this table and find the child that's right for you and for your family, and to begin this part of being like Christ and building your own legacy in your family. But don't leave until you've filled out this form right here, okay? This is where you put your name and your address, and then you make your first monthly donation here with a credit card or a check or cash, however. Just make sure you fill that out before you leave with this card. That way we can send you the welcome packet, and you can meet your child. You can write to them. You're the only one who's going to have access to this child and be a part of their life in this special way. And maybe, like us, you'll get to meet them in heaven.